Welcome to LOL Adulthood.
Three, two, one.
Welcome back to LOL Adulthood. I'm Reem.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Hunter.
And today we are talking about a fascinating topic, minimalism.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, me and Michael had kind of a revelation earlier this week, I'll say.
A revelation?
Yes.
I've never heard that word before.
That's not a real word.
It's real. It's real, all right.
Should I call him out?
We were cleaning out the garage, cleaning out all our stuff, and we're like, oh, you know what would great be like a good topic for this podcast would be minimalism. Throwing out a bunch of stuff, seeing what we need, what we don't need. It's kind of, I think, affects a lot of people's lives. And yeah, so here we are.
Here we are. One clean garage later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So minimalism pretty much is the belief of having less things make you happier.
Yeah. Like things cause anxiety.
Okay, Michael.
Yeah. So. Well, okay. All right. But that's true, though, I guess, in a very like shortened, you know, super quick like vibe of what minimalism is. That's right. Just the more stuff you have, the more things you accumulate. It's almost like a underlying anxiety. It's like you don't realize it because consumerism is like almost embedded in us as Americans.
Oh my gosh, Michael.
you said
that's a real word too, you all said, right?
You're trying to say
it's embedded.
I'm sorry. That was too good, man. Embedded. It's like you put the breading of a chicken wing inside of the chicken.
What? That's even more whack than what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Anyways, so consumerism. Yes, consumerism has been embedded into society, and it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's so big.
Michael.
Dude.
You need to leave.
Yeah, bro. Oh, dude.
Anyways, consumerism.
It's just really funny.
Consumerism.
I'm sorry.
Michael, you're going to...
Here, let's
do a breathing activity, okay? Like it looks like you have a lot of thoughts in your brain right now. You're being a bit of a maximalist. Let's minimalize those things in your brain.
Shut up.
Okay, here we're gonna cue some spa music.
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather.
No, you cannot be doing that either. That is not gonna clear your mind.
That's how we.
Shh. The spa music is going. You'll hear it in post. Just.
I'm sorry. You guys.
Okay.
It'll be there.
I don't know.
Shut up. Just shut up. You need to be quiet in silence now.
Just please say the words right.
The spa music is playing. You need to say Om Shanti Om now. Shh. Shh. Okay. I'll lead. Om.
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 Om. Om.
You got the giggles bad, bro.
This never happened.
It's because he had orange chicken
from
the panda store.
Like, really, really.
Okay, I'm good. I swear I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Okay, consumerism.
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 It's bad for you.
It's pretty bad, though.
An interesting fact about consumerism is that initially when it became a thing, it was meant for things that were actually consumed. So
really?
Yeah.
Like food? I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. All right. Michael needed to go take a walk.
Yep.
He had a lot of things going on right there. But that's okay. Because we can still talk about minimalism.
Yes.
And a part of minimalism is
consumerism.
Good job.
I got that one right.
Yeah.
Thank God. Or else I was about to be kicked out of the room, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So like I said, embedded into American
Good
society.
Job.
And so what I mean by that is, I guess, as you're growing up, at least this is how I felt growing up, and I'm sure a ton of people, it's like the more stuff you have, the more expensive stuff, all that, the more important you are, the more valuable you are to society. And so I think this minimalism movement did is it turned that on its head. And I feel like almost it's almost like a wealthy movement too.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like.
Which is ironic.
Which is weird because we expect wealthy people to like have the most stuff. But they've almost adopted this like minimalism thing where they're like, I have so much money that I don't even need a lot of stuff. Or like I just have the bare minimum and I'm trying to live. It's almost, I guess, pretentious is how I feel sometimes about it. But I mean, I also have participated, I guess, in the minimalism movement doing the van life. And I really had to like cut down on a lot of stuff to be able to fit it all in the van. So there's kind of like a two-sided face. And it really makes you realize how much stuff you need too.
Yeah.
Like you really don't need that much. And also like you realize what you consume too.
Okay, so we're talking about minimalism, and this is the philosophy that we've, you know, talked about. It's having less things make you happier. And I think that we've all experienced this in various ways. Like, you've done the van life, right?
Yeah.
We've all backpacked together. So, curious, like, what's been your experience with minimalism?
My experience with minimalism has been mostly through backpacking and realizing how important it is when living in a house with other people.
Really?
So I grew up in a family who loved buying things, and they would literally fill their house with as much stuff as possible. And no, they weren't like fun maximalist who loved to decorate and stuff. My family would buy just like the most random junk and fill their house with it. We had so many random drawers too, like an everything drawer. Like, I feel like everyone has an everything drawer at their house.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Dude, I used to go in that everything drawer and just search for things, take things.
That's what you do typically with an everything drawer.
It was a good time.
Yeah. But my family, every drawer was an everything drawer.
It's true.
And as I got older and realized that, I came to this insight that your space is a reflection of your mind. And if you have a lot of things all around you all the time, like clutter, that's a reflection of how your thoughts and how you're feeling and just everything is inside of you. So as I've gotten older, I've come to really grasp minimalism and really value that, to not having a lot of things, but also if I do have things, it needs to be structured and organized in a nice, fun way.
You're really good at that, too. I can see how your childhood prepared you. Because, like, man, yeah, she did some great party planning.
It is true. I think you're more of, like you said earlier, I think you're a fun maximalist. Like, you get stuff, but it's, like, in a meaningful and conscientious way. And it's a lot of stuff, but it all has meaning and a place. Whereas you can go the flip side of that, where you get so much stuff and it has no meaning, and then you have every drawer in your house and everything drawer, like you were saying. It just can kind of like spiral out of control.
Yeah, and it also goes into what you were saying earlier about how society is now with consumerism and how it's embedded into our communities. It's like the more stuff you have, the more fulfilled you are.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how you show to the world your ranking in this system that we're in.
Yeah.
And through backpacking and through the van life and through just like realizing what it feels to have less, it's more rewarding.
Mm-hmm. It's not even, I think, about having less things. It's just about removing the things that you don't care about, right? Like, I've always kind of felt sad in, like, some houses, and it's usually the houses that have a lot of, like, things, like, everywhere, you know, that they don't need. You can tell, like, like whole drawers, like cupboards full of like little statues and things that they don't care about. It kind of has like a little like oh man, like it almost kind of creates like a background anxiety. Like, I don't really know why this is here, but I'm not going to throw it out, you know? So I feel like getting rid of things that you don't think about almost like clears your mind up for the things that you do think about and do care about. Almost like clears up consciousness.
This whole conversation, I've been thinking about that TLC show, Hoarders.
Oh my God. Dude,
have you guys seen that show?
It's a straight up addiction.
Yes.
Crazy. And I was thinking about how in the show, their families are like trying to help them out of this situation. Like they're in there saying, do you need this? Yeah, I need that. And it's like a piece of trash or something, or like a child's toy they haven't seen in 20 years. But like, it's like this attachment to these things, I think, that we get. But then like Mike said, we forget about them. There's no like purpose with them. So maybe that's what it is. It's like purpose for every little thing. Or everything in your house. But yeah, I was just thinking about that show. I was like, that's like the worst version of that.
Yeah, man, that'd be like hell to live through, just being in like a house just full of like rotting things that, like,
and they had like little walkways in between all the stuff, like,
oh,
it was horrible,
like a corn maze.
Yeah, in the house, because there was so much stuff.
That'd be a great like haunted house, dude, like a little spook alley during Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to a hoarder's house.
Yeah, that would for real scare me. I would be spooked. Like, dude, get help, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Bad vibes in that house, for sure. For sure.
That reminds me, I was watching a couple YouTube videos earlier today, and there was a study in 2019 that said that the average millennial who makes $100,000 a year because of consumerism is living paycheck to paycheck. Isn't that insane?
Wow.
And the reason behind it is because they're always trying to keep up, you know, with the Joneses.
Mm.
And it was like what you were saying, Michael, earlier. It's like these things don't even do any, like the items that they have don't really have a purpose or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But people are in a way marketed or manipulated by these big companies to buy these things.
Yeah. Definitely.
That reminds me of like every time the iPhone comes out, and I'm a sucker for it too.
Yeah.
Like this new iPhone 15 titanium. I'm like, oh dude, even though my phone works perfectly fine, no issues. Had a little bit of a charging issue, but we got that resolved. I still want the iPhone 15. It's like, I don't know what that is. It's just, I think it's almost maybe a human thing. We always want, like, the newest thing, the most up-to-date thing.
It's about how it upgrades you. Not necessarily what the item is, but what it means to have an upgraded item for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have the newest iPhone. Mm-hmm. So you're the most upgraded human, maybe in your lizard brain. That's what's going on, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy how much of society, if you really break it down, caters to like the lower needs, right? Like the very primal basic needs. It's triggered everywhere. It's crazy. I mean, it's almost like everything is kind of designed in such a way, like rent is just as it is, you know, buying a car and car payments and then how much paychecks are. It's almost like it perfectly balances out to just make us a little anxious all the time.
Yeah.
Like needing a little more. Oh, I just need a raise. Oh, I just need this new thing or that thing, right? It's like, it's almost perfectly designed to just turn our like survival instincts on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're focused on our like kind of lower needs, which are valid needs, but they're just lower, more survival based. So we don't think about the higher needs, like purpose, meaning, things that aren't as material, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have some historical facts for you guys going on with this.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this has been an issue since the dawn of time of just wanting to always have stuff. And we have some famous philosophers who had some opinions on this.
Hmm.
Aristotle, he argued that the display of wealth should be done virtuously. invested instead in public works or social gatherings. Mm-hmm. So if you have extra to share, you should do it, because that's what's going to enhance society and it's going to make it more beautiful. If you have more to give, you're supposed to make life feel beautiful. And then Plato, he said that to have luxury at all is to have greed and to be selfish. Like, it's okay to have enough to get you by and do the things you need, but if you have extra, you should always give it away. Because this was such a big topic back then, there were actually laws passed to limit luxury.
Really?
Yeah, which is really interesting. So
in ancient Greece?
I'll show you. Yeah, I'll explain. So Venetians, they passed a law trying to limit luxury, and they would tax spendings at weddings, prohibit really nice expensive dresses, and then London limited who could wear certain colors. Only royalty was allowed to wear purple and gold. And they really wanted it in the communities, in the like modern day people back then, to not play into luxury and to be a minimalist and to be okay with what you have. And one day there was this tailor in London, and he was actually totally against this idea. He's like, I want to wear those colors. You can't stop me. And he ended up making a whole fit for himself made out of those colors. And then he was sent to prison.
Wow.
For wearing these colors, because he was showing that he had luxury, and that was against policy, which is crazy that they even tried to do that.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, because there's nothing like that nowadays. Yeah. Oh, that's also another thing with our society is individualism. So, like, I feel like a lot of cultures have been collectivists, like, of the whole, except for the few, probably the monarchs and stuff. So maybe that ties into minimalism, too, is being an individualist. Maybe you want less stuff to be apart from everyone else, right? No? You guys see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Or, like, if you want more. So, like, it's an individualist society that promotes some form of probably both extremes, like both a minimalist and a maximalist.
Yeah.
Where those societies were more collectivist and of the whole. That's what I'm getting from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. That also reminds me of this other historical thing, because all of this is pretty much about status, right? We can agree that it's all about how you come off to other people and how society and everyone perceives you. So back in the old days, what they did was, there was this one king, I forget what country he's from, but he gives another king a pineapple. That was a status symbol. And you know what these people would do with the pineapple? What the kings would do? They wouldn't eat it. They would literally leave it on their table and let it rot there, just to show whoever came to their palaces that they had wealth and that they had a pineapple. And the pineapple then became a symbol of wealth for so many kingdoms. They started designing architecture around pineapples too. Like, they started incorporating it in their styles. Like, roofs would be shaped with the top of the pineapple head. Like, that type of structure was made in that way. And then the French, they discovered the greenhouse, and they started making a lot of pineapples, and that's why we eat pineapples today the way we do. But originally, it started off as a form of luxury, to just even have it sitting around your house to show off to other people, hey, I have a freaking pineapple.
Now it's a sign of swingers.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you're looking to swing,
grab a pineapple.
Huh. Yeah, apparently they leave a pineapple outside the door, right? Or is it like a sign of a pineapple on the door?
Yeah, anything with a pineapple, you just leave it out there.
You're like, dang, you swinging, homie.
Dude, that's so weird. I went on a cruise, And I remember seeing pineapples on doors.
Dude.
And I was just like, oh, it's like a tropical
it's a
coast.
Cruise.
It's a cruise. It's like, we're going to Mexico. It's a tropical place, pineapples. Wow. The more you know.
No,
I did
dude.
Not know that.
Huh. Wealthy in other ways.
Exactly. Yeah. Extravagant. Yeah. I wonder if we do anything like that nowadays. Like, hierarchical things. It's so human, being in a hierarchy status and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're a bit more subtle with it now, maybe. We don't just throw pineapples out there and show how wealthy we are. But I'm sure we do it in other ways, like
yeah.
the cars we drive, mm-hmm. the clothes we wear.
The phone you have.
The phone you have.
The way you cut your hair.
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
what makeup you're wearing, mm-hmm. accessories, literally everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's we're always trying to show who we are, I guess, by the things that we do and the things we buy and stuff. Which is, so minimalism is like, I guess, maybe the opposite of that. Like you're buying just enough to get by or just what you need. But like minimalism, I guess, was probably more of a poverty thing. Maybe before the movement, like obviously you can't afford what you want. So you're a minimalist by just by where you are in life and economic level. But now it's like almost taken to another thing where you want to be a minimalist because you don't want so much stuff.
Yeah.
So it's it's different in a sort of way.
Yeah, it's almost like you know, society kind of swings the opposite way when they go too far, right? Like they went too far with electronics. We were just trying to get better and better and better electronics, and now we're trying to take a break from electronics. Now we're trying to detox from electronics. Same with that. It's like we got more and more things, and that was better and better, better status symbol. And at some point, it's like, well, actually, no. Now it just means you're stressed out, so I'm going to go the opposite. You know, like society rebalances itself. So minimalism probably came out of just the rampant rise of, like, consumerism and stuff.
Like, oh, yeah, it's really interesting if you think about it, like, psychologically, too. Like, what we were saying in the beginning of the podcast was, like, now rich people, the way they even – most rich people, the way they decorate their house is minimalism, you know? They're focused on showing how you can have, like, quiet luxury and look rich but have limited things.
Yeah.
But that's ironic. It's crazy.
And someone has mentioned before, I forget who, but they've told me, like, what is attractive in society is always what is hardest to achieve. It's not necessarily the biggest or the best, the most talented, whatever, right? It's what's hardest to achieve, because that's how animals, you know, rate who's the best, like, mate, right? It's not the biggest necessarily. It's like whatever animal has the best genes is gonna also have the hardest to achieve build, right? Like, for example, in like medieval times, right, the most, like, the person with the most weight, that was a sign of being rich, because you could eat a ton of food, right? And nowadays it's the opposite. It's like, how skinny can you be, right? Because now that's the hardest thing to achieve.
Yeah.
Not weight. So we always kind of go back and forth. So now being minimalist, like having less things but still being able to live on a high level, that's the hardest to achieve. So now that's in, as opposed to like having a house full of stuff. Like, that's easy to achieve now. It could just be crappy stuff.
It's all about control at the end of the day.
Yeah.
How to keep the masses quiet.
Yeah.
And the government happy. And the people with the big pockets. Money, money, money.
Bastards.
Money, money, money.
We know money. Who you are.
We do.
Looking at you, Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Find me.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool if we maybe dive into the backpacking thing a little bit, because I feel like that's not like a bad, you know, quote unquote, bad form of minimalism. That was kind of a forced minimalism, but it kind of in a good way, because it's backpacking, it's fun. You know, like, I remember before I left for backpacking, I was like, what do I need? And you almost have to, like, plan it out in your mind's eye. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'll need this, this, and this. And I actually overpacked a little bit. Like, I was like, oh, I never even used that one thing. Or, like, I only needed this much stuff. Like, you realize at the end of the day, when you're kind of forced in that situation, what stuff you need and what stuff you don't need, which was cool, I found,
yeah,
in South America.
So that was really cool. I remember a conversation I had with a friend we met in Brazil, and it was Vera. I think she was from, it was Denmark, right? But we were having a cool conversation about, like, what backpacking means to us. And she was like, well, before I came here, like, my car or, you know, my TV, my phone, like, these bigger things, they were the most important things to me. And now she's like, but now this journal is, or now this book is, right? Because it's what I have room for. And so it takes on even more significance that I have, a place, like, that I can write out my feelings and experiences. Or it takes on even more significance that, like, I have this single book that I'm just getting lost in. Because you don't have a lot. You start to, I think, like, care more about the small things that bring you the most joy instead of the big things that are the most cool or stimulating, you know?
Yeah.
That was really good. It's true. It's, at the end of the day, it's all about the things you invest in when you're on this planet, and you should be investing in things that enrich your experience. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the things that we do invest in are materials that have no purpose or enhance your life in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And things like experiences and journaling or reading, those really contribute to our human experience. And minimalism does help with that.
Mm-hmm.
It removes attachment and really allows you to understand what's more important.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, how did you guys feel coming back to the U.S. after all that? It was pretty weird for me to go from just having a backpack with my whole life in it to
this. Yeah. Yeah. I got a little bit of a warm up to modern society because I had to move back into my van when I got back. So I was like, yeah, I had a lot more stuff in the van, but it wasn't like a full blown living in a house again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I kind of got to warm up to it a little bit, but mm-hmm. it was still even a shock. It was weird sleeping in the same bed every night. And having just those kind of luxuries because we were on the move so much. I kind of got to warm up to it a little bit, but it was still definitely like an adjustment period for sure.
I hear you. How about you, Ian?
For me, it was pretty crazy too, because while we were backpacking, I didn't have a phone for almost all of the trip.
Right.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing that I had attachment to when living in the States was my phone.
Yeah.
I was really into social media, being connected, and then right in my first month of backpacking, I lost it and it broke and I couldn't use my phone anymore. So for 7.5 months, I got used to not using a phone. And then when I came back to the States, I had a phone waiting for me, and it was really hard to adjust back to.
I bet.
I forgot to call my mom. I would forget to, like, be in contact with people in general, because I was, like, not used to that. And I slowly mm-hmm. had to, you know, get back into communities and connecting, which was really weird.
What did you prefer? Did you prefer, like, when you were in... Because I know you missed a phone while you were there, but, like, thinking back on it, did you almost appreciate not having a phone, or do you like having a phone and being connected?
I think I miss not having a phone and only having a phone when there was time to, like, be on Wi-Fi for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Because with the rest of my time, it was used up with experiences and
mm-hmm.
Observing the world with more intention and interacting more wholeheartedly. And now it's, I feel like if I do have extra time, sometimes it's not done with intention.
Yeah.
It's used to, like, oh, let me just see what people are doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me message back all these people, or, oh, let me doom scroll on TikTok. It's like, how can I be better if I'm just on my phone all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's good ways to have a phone and, like good ways to interact with your phone and bad ways. And, yeah, I guess probably what it took away is you had to prioritize the stuff on your phone when you only had those 10 minutes of Wi-Fi and you could use it. And then you didn't have the chance to doom scroll or something because it was like, oh, that's I had to do that other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I almost wish I was forced into that. Because I'll wake up sometimes and I'll just doom scroll sometimes or I'll just waste so much time just watching videos and looking at stuff that it's a consumption that I need to get better at for sure. But
yeah, absolutely.
What about you, Michael?
Well, thank you for asking, Reem. I definitely I enjoyed the aspect of backpacking that was minimalism. And even before backpacking, I lived for a week in my car just to try it out, which ended up being super fun and also just crazy and, so ill-planned. But the cool thing I liked, and I think you can probably attest to this, Hunter, is every inch of that space inside the car was, kind of my home. I had, a little bed area with, pads that were wrapped in a sheet, and I had, a little book area kind of in the little, cup holder in the back. That I had a little candle that I'd light, and I had my own space for clothes, in a suitcase that I would open up a certain way, had my cooking set under the seat. And it was kind of cool because every inch of that car then became personalized to me, even though it was in a very ghetto way. But it was all me, it had my flair to it, my personality. And so having less things almost made me take ownership of my space more. And then with the backpack, you put little, things on the side that you find in different countries, or you put little, notes or gifts you get. And it's kind of a cool personalization thing to be oh, yeah, this is my whole life right now. I'm going to, go crazy with that.
Yeah. We were cleaning out the garage. Ton of stuff. We cleaned it out, and it was just, a sense of, such relief that we kept what we needed. We threw out what we didn't, and it just felt really good. Now, we're not super minimalists, get rid of every single little thing that we never ever,
Yeah.
But it just felt good. So I think there's maybe a healthy balance, with all things. Mm-hmm. With
definitely.
Minimalism, you don't want to go overboard. But I think a little bit of minimalism for most people is probably a good thing.
Yeah. And we'd love to hear what your guys' thoughts are. So feel free to let us know on our social platforms. We're active on TikTok and Instagram. We want to hear from you.
Please.
Please, please talk to us.
Please.
Please.
I'm lonely.
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 Yeah. All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening.
LOL adulthood.
Thank you for listening to LOL Adulthood. New episodes every Wednesday. To help fund our journey, check out the link in the description. Every penny allows us to grow and dedicate more time to this passion. XOXO from your Adulting Guide podcast.